The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy.
Hi, and welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your co-host, Zeke Smith, sitting in for our host, Jason Lee, and taking my spot today. To my right here is our president and CEO, Chad Burke.
Again, third string.
No, man, the Ryan Fitzmagic. Steady backup for your whole career. It's
there
great.
You go.
It's a great place to be. And with us today, no relation to Chad, is Janice Burke, the president and CEO, big president and CEOs today, of the Harris County Houston Sports Authority. Did I get that correct?
You got it correct.
Right,
I know it's a long name.
It is. So thank you for being with us, Janice.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks for having
it.
Me.
Even though you're not related to Chad, so you got in on your own accord. Thank you for being
I did. Well, you're a Smith. That's my maiden name. He's a Burke, but none of us
Paul,
are related.
None of us are related. Well, Janice, what we want to do is kind of, first of all, maybe let our audience know exactly what the Harris County Houston Sports Authority is. Some may know the Houston Sports Awards and other things are out there on social media, but if you wouldn't mind, give us a background of what that organization is, what it does, the mission, the vision, and so everybody kind of gets up to speed.
Sure. So we've always been a big sports town. You can go way back even to the Astrodome days when we built it and built that magnificent building. But I think when we were birthed into existence, it was quite a tumultuous sports scene here in Houston because the Houston Oilers wanted the Astrodome renovated, and the city and county said, look, we don't have an appetite to build a brand new building right now, but we can give you some money to put into it. A year later, they left town and became the Tennessee Titans. That kind of...
Still a sore subject.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Still a sore subject. And that kind of fueled the Rockets and Astros. They started getting courted by other cities, and they were possibly going to leave town. So I think the elected officials said, we can't be the third largest county in the country and the fourth largest city and lose all of our sports teams.
Yeah, can you imagine if we had started losing all of our sports? Houston Major League sports.
And so being Houston, we figured it out quickly, and they went to the state legislation and created a sports venue district that collects taxes in Harris County and Houston.
Okay.
That allowed us to exist and allowed us really to issue bonds to get all of the new venues built. So that was back 25 years ago. We just celebrated. That was 1997, so a little over 25 years ago. And then from there, once the buildings were built, we morphed into the sports marketing agency for the
region. Janice, you brushed over what I think is really critical. We're funded by taxes, but tell the audience about those taxes and what they are, and basically who pays those taxes.
Yeah, good point. So it's really the visitors, because it's the people that are staying in hotels and renting cars. And I think sometimes there's a misperception that, it's property taxes or somehow it's affecting the local citizens, and it really isn't, unless a local citizen stays in one of our hotels, happens from time to time.
Sure.
But I think really the whole concept is brilliant. Let the visitors who are coming in pay for this, and that's how we got all of the new stadiums built.
Absolutely.
That and our staycations. So if you have a staycation, keep doing it. It's helping us pay for
World
Cup and have great events, national championship, playoffs, all that kind of stuff.
So when you look at your receipt, you'll see Harris County Houston Sports Authority on there. You'll see exactly how much money we're getting, whether you rent a car or rent a hotel. It's right there. And that comes directly to us. So we're very, very unique in the country of how we're set up.
I think that's great.
Yep.
Great catch, Chad.
No,
great
I just point. Think it's important because, like Janice said, people think, you're funded by tax money. Well, that's coming out of my pocket. Well, most of it's coming from people who visit the town and rent cars, and stay in hotels.
So. Right.
And we actually have about 92 banking accounts, believe it or not, because we do have other revenue streams. We have rent coming in. We have, from the facilities, from the tenants in the facilities, which is our pro teams and the rodeo. And then we have a portion of sales tax out at Energy Stadium, because when all of the hotel and car rental taxes were kind of really divvied up between the projects, they came back and said, well, we really should do this practice bubble. We really need more parking. Oh, we need a closing and opening roof. And so it added. And so there needed to be other revenue streams.
Sure.
So there are other revenue streams, but I'd say 60% of it is the hotel and car rental taxes.
What, tell us a little bit about the board, the leadership, how the the leadership is created and who controls that, who appoints that.
Yeah, I think that's another interesting aspect of our organization. So even though state legislation allowed us to exist, it was given back to the local community. So no taxes or projects could be spent, no money could be spent without the citizens voting yes.
Love it.
So that, you know, gave the local community and citizens a little bit of control. And then also the leadership. So the mayor appoints half of our board with city council approval, and then the county commissioner's court appoints the other half, and together they appoint the chairman. So we have 13 board members. Chad is one of our board members, and we're lucky to have you, Chad.
It's the coolest gig I've got.
It's no offense, fun. Staff of Economic Alliance.
Straight up with that. Yeah. It's the coolest thing I get to do. I say that all the time.
Besides co-hosting this show.
Exactly, exactly.
And then Kenny Friedman, who is an attorney in town. You might have heard his name. He is actually our chairman. He's been there for quite a few years.
Sure.
But I think
guy.
It's really a fun board, 13 board members. But it's, again, the local community then is overseeing the leadership of our organization.
I love that structure. I didn't know that, so that's news. And that's great. So good catch. Good pickup, Chad.
So now that I've interjected too much, I'll take my question.
No, yeah,
so
please,
my question is about Janice. Sure. So I had mentioned this before. There are very few organizations like the Sports Authority and around the country. And so there are very few positions. It's almost like, there's 32 head football coaches in the NFL,
sure.
right? Those are the only ones. There's very few of those positions around the world. So what Janice does is very unique. So tell us a little bit about your journey to being the president of the Sports Authority here in Harris County. I just think it's just
it's so funny because I'll be sitting on a plane and the person next to me will say, "Oh, what do you do?" And I tell them, "And how'd you get that job?"
Exactly. How'd she get that?
Do you just love sports?
So something that's never happened to me on an airplane, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow, how'd you get that job?
I know.
Nope.
Or I'll be at a dinner party or people are just so intrigued by it.
Yeah.
But really, and this is where I think all of us need to be open. You don't know who you're sitting next to at a luncheon, or you don't know who you're networking with at a networking event or reception that is going to open the next door for you, right? And I think if we just do our job and do the best job we can, those opportunities just open up. So for me, getting my journey started in the hospitality arena. And again, sitting on committees and different things, I made my way through the Convention and Visitor Bureau world. But when I was in San Antonio, Dr. Toyota had just given a grant to our state and to our city because he was going to open up a plant. And he gave us a grant to go because they were doing the World Fair and he wanted Texas represented there. And so in our city, nobody could go. And so they said, "Hey, Janice, would you do this trip? There's a small tourism portion to it. It's mostly business meetings, but would you go?" And I said, "Sure," to represent San Antonio. But there were elected officials from Dallas and Austin and in Houston, as well as the governor at the time. It was Governor Perry, and his wife came. And so we were on this trip, and I could have just done the tourism portion of the business trip, but I didn't. I was already there. I felt like a lot of money was being spent for me to be represented there from my company. And so I just needed to do the best job possible and help sell the state of Texas. So I showed up for every single business meeting, every single reception, every single event. And so when the job opened up, when Oliver Luck left to become the president of our new MLS team at that time, the Dynamo, they did a national search, and some of the elected officials from Houston called and said, "Janice, would you consider coming to Houston?"
Very cool. Very cool.
They had observed me, I guess, kind of working the room, doing the business networking, and they knew I had kind of a sports background because it was a portion of what I did in every city that I had worked in.
Look at that.
Go ahead.
Just show up and look what happens, right?
Well,
even presence is important, right?
A couple little nuggets in there, right? So one, her predecessor was Oliver Luck. So if you're in the sports world, right, that's pretty cool.
Big shoes to fill, sure.
But two, and this is something I would tell my kids growing up, if you do, and one of my mentors told me this, if you do 4% more than everybody else, when someone makes a decision on who they want to tab to do something else, they're going to remember that your head stuck up a little bit higher than everybody else's, right? So, and that's Janice to a T, right? She is, she's one of the most impressive executives I get a chance to work with, and I get a chance to work with some of the best people out there. And she's just the best.
You
are
so
just
much.
Literally the best. So
we're lucky to have you. That's,
yeah.
Stole you away from San Antonio. I'm happy about that always. Yeah. So, and great question, by the way. Unique journey, of course, but and it, certainly I had no idea how you'd get a job like that.
Right.
Good to know. So, okay. So slight switch, Janice. What does having professional sports teams and hosting major sporting events? I think we've got the college football playoff coming next year to NRG. We've obviously got World Cup coming in a couple of years. All these, I mean, these are massive.
Just finished
major.
The Final Four.
Final Four was here, of course. I got a chance to go. It was a fantastic event. I mean, I loved it. So I'm already excited. I'm trying to figure out how to travel. I want to see the World Cup game here, but I also want to travel somewhere else and see a game somewhere else with my kids. So what does that do for a city, having those types of events? Like, we see it on TV or in the city, it's maybe just extra traffic, which may be the one negative, but what does that do from your perspective for a city before, during, and after?
Yeah, the positive economic impact is huge, right? And it's the pride of the citizens, right?
Sure.
And look at what happened after Harvey and how everybody rallied and we won the World Series and how that brought a community together. You have people that are singing as they're entering and or exiting or high-fiving perfect strangers. So there's something to be said for that, how sports has become such a part of really our culture right here in Houston. And I think
it brings people together.
Correct. It brings people together. There's a rally cry. It's fun. I think what citizens love, our visitors also love. But then let's look at the economic impact and how many dollars are deposited every time we host a Final Four or a college football playoff like we're going to be doing in January. We see an uptick in all of the taxes. And those aren't taxes that are just for us to help pay the bonds. Those taxes throughout the state. The state gets an uptick. The city who can use that money to fill potholes or to hire more police, right? So that there are countries that have learned this, that they can bring in visitors that deposit the tourism dollars that help them get out of their poverty. So it's just amazing. And I also think there's kind of a branding wind beneath the wings when you have sports teams. Think about Ohio, what's the first city you think about? Not Columbus, the capital, which is a great little city, but you think about Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Because of all the sports teams and that what that does. Think about their contribution and the venue's contribution when we were doing COVID. It was a vaccine site. It was a testing site.
Right.
They put voting booths there. I mean, there are a lot of positive things that happen because you have professional sports teams.
Right. So quick aside. How and when are we going to get a hockey team here?
Yes, that's the big subject right now. Now,
I'm from
Detroit, right? So Red Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty Bowman, in fact, gave me a shirt when I left Detroit.
Oh, wow.
and so I love ice hockey, right? That's a great sport. And there is right now some serious discussions going on behind the scenes. So
without revealing too much, I know you can't. Expansion or move, team move?
Both actually are being considered and talked about.
So I like it. All right, then I'll pass that word on to my friends. I lived in D.C. for a while, so I became kind of a Caps fan, adopted. So I think it's time. We're ripe for a team, so I think we could handle it. A lot of imports here too. So anyway, Chad, take it away.
Very good. So you had mentioned. I think everybody had talked a little bit about some of the events that we have hosted and are hosting. So, well, you know, what's on the, you know, what have we just done? What's on the future plate for the Sports Authority?
Yeah, and I think people don't realize how far in advance we're really working. So
We
just put in a bid a couple of weeks ago for the 2031 Men's Final Four so that we could bring it back. So we're always looking out into the future while keeping our eye on what's happening now and preparing for what we've already been awarded. But college football playoffs, first time ever in Houston. And that one is a fun one because I remember bidding on it when the concept was first brought forward and they started, you know, sending RFPs out to cities. We bid for that one two times and lost. And it was just a very painful loss. You know, Dallas got the first one and, you know, I can't remember, they awarded three or four cities in the second round when they went out to bid. And so I remember thinking, I've got to do a different strategy here. So I called the head of college football playoffs at the time, who was the decision maker, and I said, look, we're hosting Men's Final Four. Why don't you come in and be my guest? I'll pay for your trip. I'll pay for your hotel. You can ride around with me and see behind the scenes how we handle big events. And so he said, okay. So he came in. And then the next year we were hosting Super Bowl. I called again. I said, why don't you come to Super Bowl? Everybody wants to go to a Super Bowl.
Isn't she awesome?
And so then.
Nice to have those bullets in the chamber, I guess, right?
So about 3 weeks after Super Bowl, after he'd been here twice to see the different setups, he called and said, hey, I'd like to come to Houston. I'd like to do a one-city negotiation. Let's sit in a boardroom. Let's go through, see if we can get where we need to be. If we can't, I'll go out to bid like we normally do. But if we can, we'll just go out and announce that Houston is our next host city without going out to bid. And so that strategy really worked for us. And, of course, here we are hosting for the first time in January.
Again, kind of going above and beyond, you know, I love it. So great job.
Yeah,
great
so
job.
It's going to be fun.
That's probably been, how many years in coming, right? From the very first one that we didn't get, right? How many, how
Because if you go back, because when I brought him to town after we'd already lost twice was 2016.
Yeah.
You're going back 10 years because, you know, we're hosting on the 10-year anniversary.
That's right.
So
talk about a long sales cycle.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, World Cup, same thing, right? Sure. We weren't at the table the last time the United States hosted World Cup.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They didn't think about Houston. I mean, Dallas was a host, but where was Houston? Mm-hmm. And so for many, many years, at least over a little over a decade, we have been strategizing. Of course, the late Jamie Roots was a good friend of mine and came from soccer. And him and I, we would talk about this day's coming when the U.S. is going to bid again and we have to be at the table. So a lot of that started with his vision, too, of bringing big soccer events to the stadium.
And we've brought a lot of soccer events, you know, over the last decade into Houston just in preparation, just show that we've got what it takes. And the attendance in Houston for soccer events is fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a soccer town.
Yeah.
It's so diverse. You can't brag about being the most diverse city in the country and not be a soccer town.
We
are, and I've lived in Dallas and lived here, and this is I am a former soccer player. This is a soccer town, and sometimes people just want to go to games to watch teams that they don't root for.
Right.
Just want to go see an international match just to go watch it at that stadium because it is it's something to behold. So, kudos to our town and the folks in it, but I think it's seems to me like a no-brainer that Houston wouldn't be a premier host city for a World Cup like that, especially the biggest one ever coming soon.
And you would think that, but think about every city out there that has great stadiums is putting their best foot forward because everybody wants to be a World Cup host city, right? And so, you know, again, our strategy was every Gold Cup, every friendly, every soccer event we can get our hands on, Copa de America, whatever it is, let's do the very best job, sell these out so we gain this reputation. Mm-hmm. But then the bid process was very difficult. I mean, you're talking about things like Energy Stadium, who has paid millions of dollars to have their name on that stadium. It can't be called Energy Stadium during it. It's called the Houston Stadium. And so you have to, behind the scenes, for every little thing like that, talk about how you're going to grow the grass. Because we have the rodeo every year, FIFA wanted us to move the rodeo, and we said, can't move the rodeo. I mean, it hasn't moved for even when wars are going on, right?
Wow.
And so little piece of that bid, you have to think through and you have to have a strategy. How are you going to go grow grass in an indoor stadium for, 35 days without, with it still looking good? Mm-hmm. And so all of these things take a lot of time and effort during that bid process. And then, so when we finally made it into the final bid and we're sitting on the desk of the FIFA folks who don't really know Houston, they know Dallas, and people were saying Texas is never going to get two. They're never going to award two. There's just too many other good cities. They want to spread it out across the country. And so our strategy, again, was, well, let's join forces with Dallas. Let's show that by Dallas having it and us being so close to Mexico that we can move people and they can get, to your point, more than one stadium, more than, one city, and easily get back and forth. And
yeah, that's a great point.
And then we hired Chris Canetti, who was the president of the Dynamo and Dash team, and said, hey, why don't you come? Leave that permanent job and come for this temporary job that maybe only will last a year because we don't win, you're out of a job. To his credit, he came on board and helped us get that across the finish line. But just a lot of different strategy that goes on in behind the scenes for years when you're bidding.
To see the process, from behind the scenes, you know, so I'm not on that committee, but I to watch what all went into it. My first reaction was yours was like, well, we're Houston. Of course we're going to be one of the 9 or 10 U.S. cities to right. host. How could we not, right? But then to see everything that went into it, I know Janice was. I was nervous. I was like, I mean, when the day that they were announced, I was right. like, man, we better get this. We better get this.
And people thought we knew. We really didn't.
Yeah.
And people thought we knew ahead of time and that we were faking it. We really didn't. And remember when they were announcing Chad and they.
Yes. And they kind of skipped regions and went past our region. I was like, wait a second.
Because they went Kansas City, Dallas, we're waiting. We're going to be the next one. And they went over to Atlanta.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then they came back to us.
My heart dropped for a second. I looked at the mayor and I thought, did we lose this after, you know, years?
But, yeah, to just think, you know, we're Houston. Yeah, we're awesome. We should definitely get it. Look at it. But then to see how competitive sure. it was.
And then I mean, Baltimore and Washington, D.C., Phoenix, yeah, they were kicked out, right? Yeah. And I mean, and normally FIFA wants to be in a capital city of a country.
Like, do you put Houston and Kansas City in the same ballpark really ever? I don't know. It just seems strange.
But Kansas City did such a great job on their site visit.
And they have great fans there, no doubt. Like, their sports fans are literally fanatic. So, I mean, I'm Houstonian first, but I would say Texas could probably easily host three. Right, the Austin, San Antonio Metroplex hosting Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston. I mean, we could and hold it, and it'd be great. So, I mean, I don't know. That seems
so. And one other thing about that that really impresses me is that a lot of people don't realize, and you can speak more intelligently about it. But back to the economic impact, the draw and the crowds for those games are such that I've heard it put this way. But like, we're going to host at least five. Maybe eight. Mm-hmm. I heard Chris say as many as possibly eight games here in Houston. Each game is basically the equivalent of hosting a Super Bowl. It's close to, right? So just think of the impact that's going to have over probably a 45-day period.
Yeah, people often, because we're such a football state, right? We love our football here. And so people are often come up to me and say, is this really as big as the Super Bowl? Well, it's about 10 times bigger than the Super Bowl.
When you think of how many games.
How many viewers. Really, it's the largest sporting event on the globe. It's bigger. It has more fans, more viewership than even the Olympics. So it's just huge for us.
I'm just glad to be able to watch games during normal watching hours.
I know.
We wake up at 3 in the morning and watch games. Right?
You were halfway around the world.
Right. South Africa when I was waking up at 4 in the morning to watch games or whatever to keep it live. So,
cool.
Well, Janice, this is awesome. As we wrap up, we give all of our guests an opportunity to express gratitude for anybody that's given them a shot or helped them along the way. So I wanted to do the same for you. I'm sure it sounds like lots of people have opened doors for you to get this great job. Not only, of course, you and you're going above and beyond, like Chad said, but I want to give you the shot to express any gratitude that you may want to for our audience.
Wow, there's just so many because these big mega events take a village.
Sure.
I mean, we get sometimes stand up and get the credit, but it's not just me, but I have a whole team of people that just are so dedicated and work so hard. And then those that run the venues. And, I mean, just so many partners. Kenny Friedman, our chairman, of course, who's just a great, great person and volunteers so much of his time. Many of the board members, Jack Rains was our founding board member that just passed away. And just so many that laid the groundwork. So many females, right, that laid the groundwork for me before I came, that allowed me to be in the position and that normally was held by men, right? So I think I just have a lot of gratitude in my heart for being able to be in this position.
So one other thing that I wanted to brag on was Janice's staff. I do have the chance to talk to staff regularly, and I will quiz them on what it's like working at the Sports Authority. Are they happy there? What's the culture like? And unanimously, that feedback is very positive. And Janice has hired a fantastic crew. She leads them with vision and culture of hard work and doing the extra thing, as you can see.
Sure.
And occasionally, you know, in any good team. If you're developing great people, you'll get those people plucked away from you, and they'll go on to bigger and better things. And she backfills with great people just because of her network and who she is and what the mission is. So I have to put that little little note in there.
I mean, really, the staff is so top-notch that I'm, again, so grateful because many times I'm the person, right, the face of the organization, but it's all of their hard work. I mean, and sure. Chad, you know.
It's the same way here.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like they just put me out in front of everybody. It's Mandan. That's right. And the rest of them.
Well, look, it's a world-class city, so it doesn't surprise me that an organization like this has to have some best-in-class yeah. talent, leadership, et cetera, right? Yeah. In order to – we have now some plaques on the wall as far as large-scale events coming to this city very soon, so
yeah.
it doesn't surprise me one bit that our leader and the staff are absolutely best-in-class. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
I want to give you one last chance because we were talking before the show about need for some corporate partners, and you have a need for that for the World Cup. Is that correct? So what are you looking for? Because we have a lot of companies listening, and so yep. let's see what
yes,
we can help.
Yes, we would love to have 10 partners that step up behind us, and they get to use that the logo and get the intellectual property rights with us to really be there 3 years out and lead into this and just be there for every media event wow. and have ticket access and all of those great things. We're also, because we now can do this, we have millions of followers and we have so many events on the horizon, we look for Sports Authority partners that want to step up and just be by my side to help us year in and year out bid for these type of events.
So how do they reach out to you all to if they do want to help?
Everyone can get to me through our website, houstonsports.org. There's a contact button there, and literally every day I'm getting messages because the community does feel like we are their organization. Sometimes I even get messages like when we were moving leagues with MLB, I'm like, okay, I can't do anything about that.
Call Manfred on that one.
Keep us in the National League.
Yeah, right.
But I answered hundreds of responses that I had to give for that. But again, I love that because I feel like the community sure, yeah. does reach out and they voice their opinion and they think that we're a representative of them. So
very cool.
Awesome. Well, this was a very fun conversation. And Chad, thank you. Janice, thank you so much for being our guest. I know this is going
to
be a great episode and our listeners and watchers are going to love it. So thank you so much for being with us. So for our audience, we always say, if you think someone would benefit from listening to Janice and the Sports Authority story, please pass this forward. You can go to economicalliance.com to the media tab to subscribe to all of our channels. We're not just on camera, so since Chad and I have a face for radio, we like you to listen to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, either one, whatever you listen to. Certainly don't watch while you drive. And Janice said you can go to houstonsports.org to connect with the Sports Authority. But great episode, and thank you so much to both of you again, and we look forward to having Jason back soon. Thanks to our audience for listening, and y'all have a great week. See you next time. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.